Sports Day for Kia. The super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy.
7 minutes past six. Hello, welcome along to a Friday Sports Day. Beaver's in the house. We'll get to him in just a tick. But oh, the irony of it all. For months, we were told one thing while another plan was being hatched to get Novak Djokovic into the country to break the record slam number at Melbourne Park. Well, as we've noted many times over the last couple of weeks, in fact, the last month, it was a bad misread at best. And the Liberal opposition want to have an independent inquiry to find out what it may well have been at worst. That won't happen, of course, as there's no one to call the inquiry that wasn't in on the plan, it seems. But a full disclosure and acceptance of where they absolutely went wrong is the least Tennis Australia could do following the Open for the people of Melbourne and Victoria that fund the improvements that go on each year, year after year, are owed that much at least. They were so angry at the blind pursuit of the exemption for Novak, where none existed for anyone else in Victoria for the last 2 years. And the irony? Well, the irony is simply this. Well, a short time ago, the great Rafa won his way through to his sixth Australian Open final and a chance to win his second in a tough battle with Matteo Berrettini. Rafa is also a 20-slam winner. Rafa is totally compliant with all vaccination rules and has, it seems, a better understanding of what Victorians have endured than Tennis Australia. Rafa can also break the record if he wins without any of the smoke and mirrors. It's been a strange slam, particularly the first week, but with Barty so much better than anyone else in the field, history looks certain to be made on Saturday night, and on Sunday night, Tennis Australia may well get the record slam in the men's after all. Despite the unfortunate compromises that killed the vibe of the Australian Open early, it may well finish in a blaze of historical glory anyhow. Barty into Rafa, a victorious double that might, just might, erase the memory of the nonsense that preceded the tournament. Welcome to you, folks. The numbers is 133693 if you'd like to join us. But first, welcome one of the great sports minds of Victoria in Rusiva. Welcome to you, Beaver.
And welcome to you, Jared, and a very strong editorial off the top. And as you said, a history-making weekend awaiting us. Question to you to start with. Do you think Novak, over his cornflakes Sunday morning, his time will be watching Sunday night with Rafa now just one match away of moving to that magical 21?
Because all of a sudden he's starting to work out the sacrifices that he is about to make because of his inability or his lack of want to get vaccinated, because Rafa goes to a place where he just doesn't lose after this. So they would have all come here together at 20 all. Rafa wins on the weekend, and that's no certainty. He's got to knock off either Tsitsipas or Medvedev, and both of those have got a genuine opportunity. And then he goes to Paris. He may well be chasing 22 when he next enters the scene. He might get to Paris, but not according to the President Macron right there. But we have had a big game. It's been a huge game. It looked like Rafa was going to perhaps stumble again after he lost the third set. Roger Rashid was there watching it. Former coach and tennis great, the Roger Rashid, joins us on the line. Roger, you witnessed a fantastic result, and all of a sudden we are on the cusp of greatness with Rafa potentially taking out the 21st title. Welcome to you.
Thanks very much. And look, Jared, yeah, it's been a marvellous couple of weeks from Rafa. I mean, he's just slowly, you know, he's Popeye, isn't he? Every game he wins, cracks another can of spinach, whacks it in, and his chest just sticks out, and he gets stronger. He actually always has been able to get stronger and play his best tennis as he's moving forward, and not just, you know, not be falling over at the line, so to speak. And today was nothing more than that. And Rafa knows when, boys, to make a statement. And when it's the match is that important that he must make a statement early. He did it, and obviously went to five sets a couple of days ago and really struggled against Chapo. And he admitted it. He said, he got some heat stroke and all those sort of things that took place. But here against Berrettini, he had a big plan, and it was to go big, heavy, bouncy into the backhand of Berrettini. The roof was closed, so he didn't get the value of having heat in the court and the normal bounce. But, wow, he stepped up and was just so aggressive early and just took it to an opponent and said, hey, I've been here that many times and this is what it takes. And, you know, he definitely stunned him. And those first two sets were that was just a better level from Rafa than we'd seen so far in the tournament.
I think most people in Melbourne have taken Roger Federer and Rafa to their bosom, if you like, and have always loved the way they go about it. This would be incredible if he could get across the line against Tsitsipas and Medvedev. I love those two guys too. They play in the right spirit. They leave it all on the court, so it's no certainty. But if Rafa was to win, it would be an incredible result for the Australian Open and a great climax, a fitting climax, because I guess I'm jumping ahead of myself, but I just assume that Ash Barty is going to win because she seems so much better than anybody else in the field.
Look, it's been one of the, to be honest, you couldn't script the Australian Open back end any better than this, could you? We had Rafa and Berrettini. Berrettini, you got to remember, a finalist of Wimbledon. He's only lost to, in the last four Grand Slams, the only person he's lost to is Novak.
Right.
And so that shows his quality as he's coming through. So that was the semi-finals. Then you've got Tsitsipas, who just played scintillating tennis in his round before, and who now against Sinner. And he's an all-court. He's the other version of Roger, really. You know, you see him on top of the baseline, taking the ball on the rise, coming forward. Mm. So he's got that style of play, and you've got Medvedev, who starts in row seven and then comes up and tries to beat you from the baseline when he needs to. And it's virtually, you know, to get through him at any stage, anywhere around the court, he's as strong-minded as anyone out there as well. So it is it's an amazing group that we had in the semifinals. And then on the other side of the court, you've got Ash, who I think is just going to be too good. She has been dropped 21 games only. Danielle Collins has been outstanding, but I think Ash will be able to pick her apart. It's going to make Danielle do a whole lot of different things on the court if she wants to beat Ash. But she comes in with a great platform, an NCAA champion on two occasions. She's hungry. She doesn't smile much. She wants to eat you. And then you got the four boys, four Aussies playing doubles, and we had Aussies in the mixed doubles today, and Dylan Alcott in the final. I mean, could you have actually written it? I'm not sure. I don't think you could have. Could you?
No, well, it's Hollywood-like stuff. Before we'll come back to Ash and also the men's doubles. But Rog, before we move on from Rafa, it's extraordinary to think that he could move to 21 on Sunday night, when in two of the four slams, one being here in Melbourne, he hasn't won here in Melbourne since 2009, so we're talking 13 years, and he hasn't won Wimbledon since 2010. Now, we know he's just, you know, he's owned the red clay of Paris, but that almost makes it even more extraordinary that two of the four slams, it's a dozen years plus since he's tasted success.
When you mentioned the differential, he actually should be in the armchair having a cold beer watching and going, I used to do that. And be telling, you know, that's really, do you want to have a look at my highlights package? But and he'd never do that as well, I don't think, Rafa. But that's extraordinary. And what's even more extraordinary, and it's not extraordinary that he's here, to be honest, because he loves the game. He craves it. So the best players in the world, that's why we've been gifted, is these guys, Roger and Novak, they crave the game for its pure, and especially Rafa, just for in its purest form. And you can see how humble it is, see how competitive he is. And he's always trying to challenge himself out there. So, you know, he turns up here and he even talked about it today, you know, he to Jim Courier at the end. He said, you know, I lose a third, played a bit of a loose game, but all credit to, you know, Mateo hit it. But then I had to suffer and fight. And then I came through. So he acknowledges that, okay, now's my time to dig in and I've got to really suffer this period. And he absorbs it. And I think that's why I'm not sure. Look, you'll be able to throw other names if you sat down and wrote a little list, but he'd be on a really small list of, would he be the greatest fighter in sport? He'd have to be in the top couple or three in all sports, because he never stops, and he's able to remove what just took place in the past and just focus on the present. And you know, when you lose a set, the your third set. You've had a little bit of a, you know, you've had a big couple of days ago. You had a monster event. You're trying to get your body back. He pushed back, you know, straight away in the opening game and pushes back and sets us lean again. So, look, he's an incredible. We've been gifted because we've been able to watch him. I've been gifted even a hundredfold because I've been on the court, on the practice court with him, you know, hundreds of times. I've, you know, gone head to head with him as a coach and have the luxury of playing against him, you know, with my players. And I've always had a smile on my face, regardless if he was the opposition, because I just thought this is tennis at its purest. And it's pretty special. I think we're in a special period to have someone at 35, like Rafa, who's gone through a fair bit, to be sitting in an Australian Open final. That's pretty cool.
I think you'd like him interchanging with Travis Boak off the half forward flank. You might just be able to find a spot for him. Okay, give us the matchups before we talk about Ash. If Rafa's playing Tsitsipas, who wins?
Look, I think I lean with Rafa if he can play like he did today with some depth and flight. You know, that's all. I just think if he does that. But he, you know, Rafa's had matches where he's dropped that loopy forehand, Jared, that you love, short in the middle of the court and in the service box. If he does that, they're the matches that he's lost, and you'd need to hit big against him. And Tsitsipas can do that as he looks to come forward. So there's an opportunity for all these guys. Rafa's not a certainty by any stretch. He's not the favourite. If Medvedev wins, he's not the favourite.
Who will you? If Medvedev does win, will you be tipping Medvedev or Rafa?
I'm going to sit on Rafa. Okay. I have to be sentimentally. Yep. I think it'd be long, but I'm just going to sit on Rafa.
Well, Medvedev, he spoiled the party for Novak, didn't he?
He prevented
him from winning the Grand Slam in the calendar year.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. You're right. It's a little bit different. Medvedev's playing himself when he plays Novak. So, you know, it's the same sort of flighted ball. They're flat through the court. Novak has a little bit of spin on his forehand for sure, but they play each other. And it was interesting when Novak eventually had to beat Medvedev. It was in Paris. He had to serve volley. He had to serve, and it was an indoor hard court. He had to serve volley to change the rhythm because Medvedev was doing he was doing Novak better than Novak could do himself, if you know what I mean, off the back of the court. And he had to change things up. What Rafa offers you is a left-hander, and he does offer a little different ball to Medvedev. So there is a differential in that matchup.
We're talking to Roger Rashid, former coach and still current tennis commentator on Sports Day. Now, Rog, Gerard doesn't think that Ash can be beaten tomorrow night. Danielle Collins, the last time she played Ash in Adelaide last year, she beat her. And in two of the three wins that Ash has had over Danielle Collins, it's gone to three sets. So I don't think it's going to be as one-sided as what the Brownlow medalist does.
No, in the Brownlow medalist sometimes, you know, he likes to get out there on the front foot pretty big sometimes. But and he's at 21 games she's dropped, which is just that in its own package is extraordinary. Going into a
how many games will Collins win, Roger? How many games?
I can see. I feel like it's a 6-4, 6-4, 6-4, 6-4, 6-4, 7, you know, something like that. I think there's 8 or 9 games in it. I personally think so. The reasons why, is because Ash, as we've seen, she offers you a different product. She offers you different parts of the court to hit into the whole time. She serves differently. Yesterday, Danielle Collins, she returned brilliantly, but Swiatek served to the same spot all the time and couldn't move the ball anywhere else, whereas Ash has got all this other variety going on. What Collins offers is she's very structured. She goes after the ball. It's her favourite surface is hard court. It's what she grew up playing on, this type of surface that goes through the court. And she's pretty relentless where she has not faltered under the pressure of the moment.
Yep.
And this will be as big a moment as she's going to face. You know, the crowd will be 100%, virtually, driving Ash. And hopefully, Ash has shown no signs of where she's been affected by the crowd. Jared, I think she's the most relaxed number one that we've ever had in the women's game.
It's
never
unbelievable.
Seen anyone so relaxed in her with the number near their name. And that's why I think, you know, tonight, sure, she'll have the nerves. They'll be the butterflies. There might be a few unforced errors here or there, but as a package, I think she's got more ways to try and win the tennis match if something's not going right for her. And for Danielle Collins, I think there's virtually game A and a little bit of game B, but I think, in these sort of moments, you probably need a little more.
Well, let's hope it's a great match either way. But, Roger, we appreciate your support right throughout this 2022 Australian Open. It's been terrific as always. Roger Rashid, former coach and still one of the best commentators in the land. Up next, we're going to chat to Canadian journalist Stephanie Miles right here on Sports Day, thanks to the super fast charging all electric Kia EV6.
Minutes after 6, Sports Day, powered by Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy. And for Kia, Bruce Eva sitting in for Sam McClure alongside Jared Healy. Stephanie Miles, Canadian tennis journalist, is about to join us. Just before she does, Jared, and you will introduce her, I get the feeling you think at the moment with Canada and Italy emerging, is this like a generation ago when Sweden and Germany...
Well, I hope so, Beaver, and I'm interested in the systems because we're talking to Darren Carl about this. Is it system or are they just mushrooms that bob up? I mean, you've got to have a great coach within that system. You've got to have pathways and you've got to have lots of tennis games. But Stephanie Miles is not just any sort of journalist, Beaver. She is the number one tennis journalist in the land of Canada. She joins us on the line. Welcome to you, Stephanie, and thanks for holding.
Oh, that's a big introduction. I hope I can live up to that.
You'll be right, Stephanie. If you can play as well on the radio as Felix AA played the other night in the first two sets, you'll be actually taking our job. Wasn't that an amazing performance? Sadly, he couldn't go on with it.
It really was. You know, I think with every time he's been deep into a Grand Slam, which has happened the last three, he's taken a bit of a step up. In this particular one, he was playing so well at the beginning that he was basically unbeatable. Now, that's a tough level to keep up for three, four sets, but he played an opponent who pulled out every trick in the book. And I'm not saying he was dirty. I'm not saying he did anything wrong. He just made changes. He changed the tempo. You know, he changed his tactics. He did everything that he could to try and turn things around. And he did, you know, I mean, that is why Daniel Medvedev already has a Grand Slam title in a very tough era. And Felix Auger-Aliassime, who I think will win some, is not there yet.
I couldn't believe he lost, to be honest. I thought his first two sets are the best two sets I've seen for the year. I've said that a couple of times already this week. And yet he did find a way to lose that game. Clearly there's some just maturity to continue on. But he was a child prodigy, was he not? And he's been coming for a period of time. He has got movement that compares, one of the few that compares to Federer, in my view.
Especially because he's a much bigger fella than Federer is. You know, I think Tsitsipas is also a 6'4" guy who moves pretty well. You know, he has suffered a little bit from having been so good so young and doing things where they go, wow, the only younger players who ever did this was Rafael Nadal and, you know, stuff like that. And so people forget he's only 21 and he's still learning. And so, you know, again, I agree with you that those first two sets he played were completely off the charts, but they were also above his best level, I think, you know? And so at this stage of his career, it's really tough to keep that up right until the end. I mean, you must sit there and think to yourself, oh my goodness, I've never played this good, you know, tennis this well in my life. Yeah. You know, what am I doing right? And then once you start thinking, it's tough. But I think that he showed in those two sets that he could do it. And I think the more he goes along, he'll be able to prolong that stretch of top level tennis even longer, long enough to win a match like the one he lost here.
So you got Felix, you got Shapovalov, who's been coming for a period of time. Both are in the quarterfinals. And you've got Milos Raonic, who I thought would win one a couple of years ago, fell off the perch, and doesn't appear to have emerged from injury issues that he suffered 24 months ago.
Exactly. I spoke to him a couple of weeks ago, actually, and he's sort of laying low. He was trying to get ready for here, but he just wasn't. And, you know, I think his moment to win a major came and went about 5 years ago, and his body just won't allow it. Now, he still has time, so we'll see what happens over the course of 2022. But, you know, it's a tough one for him. He's just, he doesn't have a body built for tennis, and it just kept breaking on him. Certainly Canada also on the women's side has some good names too. So, like, we're doing okay. You know, he set the tone, and now they're following in his footsteps.
Yeah, sometimes you need a leader to, it may not go all the way, but it gives the younger people some a pathway. Tell us what's changed in Canada that you're starting to produce a quorum or a couple or two or three at the same time. Is it system or is it just cyclical?
No, you know what? I'm with Killer. It's the mushroom thing. Right. It's basically just about getting lucky. And the reason I say that is because it's not the program, the national sort of development program has produced Felix, who had a father who was a tennis coach and who is such a phenom that I feel like he would have made it anyways. You know, it produced Bianca Andreescu, who's, you know, really sort of struggling right about now, but who won a major. But everybody else has come through differently. You know, Shapovalov had nothing basically to do with the national system.
Yep.
He had his own path, and so it obviously cost him a lot more money to do it because they weren't covering it. Leila Fernandez, who made the U.S. Open final last fall, also didn't get help from the federation. She did her own thing with her father, you know. So there really is no system that has created them, and they don't really have anybody in the pipeline right now. So it's luck. You hope that you find these great athletes who choose your sport,
yep,
and then you go from there. Italy's a little bit different because Italy has, number one, a great tennis tradition, number two, a lot of very, very good coaches, and number three, they have a system of challenger tournaments and lower-level tournaments, a lot of tournaments that players can compete in and get better at without having to travel a lot, without incurring all the expenses of going all over the place. So they have a great infrastructure in place, and the difference now is that where their players back in the 80s were like little short guys, now they're sort of also growing these colossal creatures,
yep,
like Matteo Berrettini and Sinner, you know, who benefit from that system, and they have a lot of depth in the system too. So I think their long-term ongoing prospects are probably better than Canada. But again, you know what? The next great champion might come from Bolivia or Kyrgyzstan or whatever. There are 150 countries trying to develop tennis players. So it really is. A lot of it is just random dumb luck.
Changing tack, Stephanie, who do you like tomorrow night? And can you mount a case for Danielle Collins to cause the upset for our world number one?
You know, I could mount a case for her, not necessarily because she's a better tennis player, because she's not. You know, Ashley Barty is by far the best tennis player on the women's side. But she's dealing with the pressure of it having been 44 years since a woman won the Australian Open title. And let's be honest, it was pretty different back then. And she seemed impervious to it so far. She's been dominant, but she's not been in the final. She's not been two sets away from doing it. And her opponent is not somebody who I don't think is going to crack under the pressure of having a whole country against her. Danielle Collins is an absolute beast. She's been through way worse things in her life than losing a tennis match. And she just goes out there and she imposes her presence and she makes you know that she's there and she doesn't need to have the crowd with her to play her best tennis. Now, I think Barty's going to win, but I hope at least it's going to be a good final after the two dead semifinals we had yesterday.
Indeed, Stephanie, you've been a star. We really appreciate you joining us, and we've got your number. We're coming back to you next year. All the best.
Thanks for having me.
Stephanie Miles, you can see why she's regarded as the number one tennis journalist in the land of Canada. Up next, we're going to take your calls on the Hard Courts Open line, 133-693. But as we go to the break, here he is, the Tonsils himself, Tony Tonsils Tardio.
Good evening. The SES has received more than 700 calls for help with thunderstorms continue to roll across Victoria. The requests are mostly for flood and building damage. Glenira in Melbourne southeast has recorded the most calls with 78, followed by Monash with 70. Point Cook recorded the most rain, more than 50 millimetres falling in 3 hours. A watch and act alert has been issued for localised flash flooding for Elwood Creek. 39 people have died with COVID in Victoria in the past 24 hours. The number of new cases is 12,755. Hospitalisations have dropped below 1,000, with 988 being treated, 114 are in ICU. Former TV host Andrew O'Keefe has been refused bail in court, accused of assaulting a woman at his Sydney apartment. He'll reappear in court next month. And INXS guitarist Tim Farris has lost his damages claim over serious head injury suffered in a boating accident. More news at 7.
Welcome back to Sports Day. We're taking your calls on 133-693. That's the Harcourt's open line. If you'd like to join us, give us a call. You've got one of the greatest historians in the land in Bruce Eva here. He'd love to take your calls. Challenge him. If you can top him, well, you'll be one of very few people in Australian history to beat him at a quiz question.
Nearest the pin, Jared. How many go to Marvel Stadium tonight for the Big Bash final?
I reckon Beaver.
Remember the weather we've had today.
Yeah, but it'll be closed roof. I reckon he'll get about 3,000 people.
Yeah, I'll see. They'd be happy with up to 5, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I think it'll be 5. No matter how many turn up, it'll be 5.
5,107.
To Myrtleford, Rod, welcome and thanks for holding on.
No worries, Jared and Beaver. Great to thanks for having me. I realise you guys are pretty busy with the tennis, but I thought I'd just cut in there as a part-time journalist and give you a wrap-up of some of the sport that's happened in the last 2 days since your show's called Sports Today.
Well, please do. Our next segment is Sports Update, so you might as well do it for us. Well, what do you got for us? Why don't you begin about last night?
Thank you very much.
With
now with the Free-AW Sports. Now with a Sports Day update, this is Rod here in Myrtleford. We got the Socceroos World Cup qualifier at Amy Park last night. Great win for Australia, 4-0.
Yep.
Tommy Rogic coming out of Celtic, Ange Postecoglou's team, who won 2-1 over Hearts on the weekend. Fantastic game, masterful pass to Jamie McLaren, playing his first game since June to slot the goal in. I tell you what, and he scored one the next, and 4-0 to the Socceroos. Switching across to today's test match at Manuka, Heather Knight, 127 night out for England with Sophie Eccleston, 27 night out. It's a 66-run partnership for the eighth wicket, and England were looking pretty bad at 8 for 169, but they're going all right if they can hang in tomorrow morning. Switching to the Big Bash, Hayden Kerr, what an innings, 102 night out. Hadn't done much with the bat for the for the Sixers, but yeah, 102 not out. Well done, Hayden. And Celtic, Ange Postecoglou, a good win, 2-win over Hearts with a few of the Socceroos missing. And there's a wrap for the last couple of days' sport, guys.
Well, you did miss that Fremantle midfielder Luke Valenti has retired after 3 seasons, Rod, but that was absolutely fantastic. I'm not sure what we're going to do next segment, Beaver, because up next we've got the sports update.
Time now for a sports update for Tyre Power, Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer, keeping you safe on the roads. Tyrepower.com.au.
Righto, Beaver, burn some rubber thanks to Tyre Power. And is there anything that Rod missed out from Myrtleford that you'd like to fill in the blanks? And Rod, if you want to give us a call each Friday, you can give us have your own segment, What We Have Missed.
He missed a couple of things and a couple of corrections as well.
Oh, hello, Jared, but
it's Manuka, not Manuka. Yeah, I think the honey is Manuka. Yeah, it's Manuka Oval in Canberra.
He's only a work experience kid.
Yeah,
though,
he did well. But he forgot to mention Heather Knight's magnificent 127 not out. Catherine Brunt took 5 for 60 to cleaned up the Australian tail this morning.
Can you put a bit of flesh on the bone around the Socceroos' victory against Vietnam?
No, he covered that perfectly.
Okay.
4-0, World Cup. It's a World Cup year.
Yeah,
in Qatar. He didn't get to the NFL preview, which I know you're already trying to shepherd's crook me off regarding that. We've got the AFC and NFC championships to work out who is
going to. Just tell me who's going to win.
I think it'll be the Chiefs, even though everyone's going for the Bengals. That's Monday morning. Yep. They're both Monday morning. And I think the Rams might just beat the 49ers.
What's happening down the road?
Well, we've got the Big Bash final. Mm. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. Fifth final in 11.
Smith made his way in.
No, third time unlucky. they tried a third time the Sydney Sixers with their injury depleted lineup. Jordan Silk's definitely out. Enriquez and Sock, Steve O'Keefe, we think are both going to play. Daniel Hughes will probably come up from his ankle injury. Fifth time in 11 seasons, it's a Sixers v Perth Scorchers final. And the Sixers are going for 3 in a row. Mitch Marsh, injury concern for the Scorchers.
Will he play?
Yeah, he'll play as well.
Won't bowl, obviously.
Probably not.
Where's he field?
Well, probably not backward point. I don't know where they'll try and hide him. What else have we got? Did he miss anything else? What he didn't mention, and the fact that Nadal's now beaten Berrettini, we talk about the Australian drought.
Yeah.
Do you know now, and Berrettini obviously lost the Wimbledon final last year. He's just missed out on making the Australian Open final. We haven't had an Italian male Grand Slam winner since 1976. So that's any of the four. Any of the four slams.
Yeah.
And given the rich history which Stefanie and Roger spoke about with Italian tennis history, the last Italian male to win a Grand Slam was Adriano Panatta. The 1976 French Open. Now, that name should mean a lot to Australian
Big
tennis
J.O.
fans. Yeah, he was the other half of what many still regard as the greatest Davis Cup win here in Australia, even better than Cash beating Pernfors in 86.
Better?
Well, J.A., this clinched the final at White City in 1977, 6-4, 4-6, 2-6. So he's down two sets to one, J.A., won the fourth and the fifth, 8-6, 11-9.
I don't think anything beats the Penfors Cash one, but I'm happy for there to be somebody close.
A challenger.
Give me some facts about Wendy Turnbull, because Wendy will be talked about much over the weekend.
Yeah, and doesn't this make us feel old that Wendy Turnbull will turn 70 later this year? So, of course, Chris O'Neill's the last Australian
to win it.
To win it, 1978, when she beat Betsy Nagelson. Wendy Turnbull made the Australian Open final in 1980. And she lost to Hannah Mandlikova, who years later became Aussie Hannah Mandlikova.
Yep.
Now, there was only 56 in the women's singles draw that year, and we know it was a weaker tournament back then. But Wendy Turnbull, or Rabbit, as her nickname was, she didn't get it easy. She beat Martina Navratilova in the semis in straight sets.
Yep.
She beat Pam Shriver in the quarterfinal, and she beat the darling of English tennis, Sue Barker, in the round of 16.
Mm.
So that wasn't an easy, soft run through to the final, but she went down in the final to Hannah Mandlikova. Let's hope Ash Barty can go one step better in 24 hours' time.
We've only got 2 minutes, Beaver. I want your best preview of why St Kilda can turn it around this season.
Well, aren't we going to talk about the men's double? I quickly want to talk about the men's doubles.
You do?
Well,
that's a walk in the park too, isn't it?
Well, all the focus is on the special K's. Now, Matt Ebden, as we know, has been around for a million years, and his wife is about to give birth. The other guy... Purcell.
He's made himself popular in recent times.
Well, he's the one that had the blue with Leighton at the start of the tournament as to why didn't he get a singles wild card, and then the fact that Leighton didn't inform him of that. Mm. He had to find out from Wally.
Where's Wally been? I haven't seen Wally this tour.
I thought you would have had him on the show over the past 2 weeks.
No, he's dropped off.
Isn't it amazing in Australian tennis how you can just use the first names and we just know who we're talking about?
It's Wally.
Yeah, it's Wally.
It's either Wally Lewis or Wally Masur.
Yeah. So I hope they're not portrayed as the villains tomorrow night, Ebden and Purcell. I mean, you'd like to see a three-set epic, and we can't lose either way, can we? And what was the final question? Jack Steele was – that's the football news today. Jack Steele appointed solo captain of the Saints.
You like that?
Well, hopefully if he's the premiership skipper in 8 months' time, yes, I do.
You say villain. I heard it again on the TV today. People are trying to paint – Medvedev as a villain. He's not a villain. I mean, it may help for sell papers and it may help to sort of give
you
something to say.
He's a different character, but
villain. He was telling jokes the other day. People booed, but they didn't boo him. They booed the mention of Novak Djokovic. So you can't put him in a black hat. Not yet. Anyway.
No, I agree. And
if he beats Ash Barty, then you can put him in a black hat, but I doubt whether that'll happen.
No, and there's a bit of history between him and Tsitsipas as well.
Indeed.
Miami 2018.
Yeah, that's a bit of a stink.
Yeah, so it should be tasty tonight.
Sports Day's powered by Red Energy Beaver, as you've told us a couple of times, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy. And, of course, for Kia, the all-new Kia Sportage has been unleashed. Give us a prediction, Beaver, for the cricket tonight.
Perth, Sydney 2, injury hit, and the Scorchers will prevent the Sixers winning 3 in a row.
And Pissapas versus Medvedev?
I think Medvedev, let's hope it goes 5.
Well, if it does, it gives Roger a real chance. Thanks for your company right throughout the week, folks. Have a great weekend.